As the department stores get crazier and crazier this time of year, stay calm and avoid the chaos by shopping on Amazon.com. Get the best deals on everything you need and help support Rob Has a Podcast whenever you start your Amazon shopping with our link, robhasawebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robhasawebsite.com/AmazonCA. Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cesternino back with another Survivor Cambodia exit interview. First one of the post-merge coming up today, and we've got a really good one for you today because it is going to be Chaos Cass McQuillan joining us here on the podcast for the exit interview. Very excited to talk with Cass. I was listening to my interview with her that I had done back in May when we were doing the Survivor Second Chance interviews, and it was really fun. Cass is always really good on the podcast because she speaks her mind, and I'm sure she will have a lot to say today here on the podcast. Busy Thursday coming up. Of course, last night we did the Survivor Know-It-Alls, had a really fun show with Josh Wigler to recap the episode. If you missed that, that's up on robhasawebsite.com. Then later on today, speaking of people from Survivor Cagayan who speak their mind and don't hold anything back, Trish Hegarty is going to be my guest, and I'm dying to talk to her about what she's seeing from this episode and the sort of experiences that she had with all the Cagayan players and playing with them, and then how she thinks they're doing this season and where she thinks that this is all going. And of course, she was part of such a crazy merge episode from her season. So I think that's going to be a really fun podcast today. And then we're going to get into the voicemails with my good buddy, Jordan Parhar, the host of Big Brother Happy Hour here on Rob Has a Podcast. And he's been a longtime RHAP listener, and he's a big Survivor fan in addition to being a Big Brother Canada player. So he's going to have some good takes, I'm sure, later on today. So get your voicemails in for Jordan, robhasawebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. And then after we speak with Cass, we'll do This Week in Survivor History with Jordan Kalish. So let's get into it. I see that we have Cass here on the phone. Cass, are you there?
Hey, Rob.
Hello, is this the queen of Ponderosa, Chaos Cass?
This is the queen of the runaway jury that's about to happen.
Your Royal Majesty, good morning.
Yes, thank you, my faithful
subject.
Underling.
Yes.
Subject, okay, yeah, I got to get the terminology.
Oh, Cass, wow, can't believe it. Very excited to be talking to you, but wish it was much later along the way, but I have 30 million questions for you. So let me just jump into this. First off, from where I sat last night watching the episode, I thought you really got screwed by the early merge happening. Maybe you more than any other person, because it really did seem like you were ruling the roost on the second swap to KO. Is that how you saw it?
I definitely think that, you know, we were going to gain control big time with one more vote out. And we all knew to KO there was going to probably lose the next challenge, and then Mr. Savage would have been sent packing to cry and cuss on his own.
Lose the next challenge or throw the next challenge?
That would be an interesting question. You know, I personally am not a fan of throwing challenges, but maybe because Savage was being kind of a little turd, so he could have escalated things to a point where we were just like, let's get rid of him.
Now, in that vote from last week to vote out Wu, could you talk a little bit about your motivation? Was it to take out Wu? Was it to try to save Sierra? Was it to make a move against Andrew? Because I thought that you and Andrew had actually gotten pretty well. I remember you were getting choked up during Andrew's wonderful story earlier this season.
Well, it hurt to listen to it. It was so silly. It was painful that he had to have a represent Playboy and meet a hot model wife and become a millionaire at Yahoo. I mean, it was touching. So, no, I didn't have a problem with Savage. You know, the Wu vote out was because he was so tight with Savage. And we know those alliances that form on tribes that, like Angkor, that go through a lot are very strong. And then Savage shaking hands constantly with Jeremy and practically cheering him on when we're on opposite tribes. You could see the broing down going on. And Wu being someone who would follow a male before a female and obviously would not ever take control of the game was someone that was dangerous to me, you know, being someone who would help the bro alliance there down the road. So, Yeah, a lot of factors going on.
So this week, and maybe a little bit last week, we had the emergence of the quote-unquote chaos cast. And I think it's a little more complicated than you're just like this sort of like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde person where, you know, who's going to come out? Is it Chaos Cast or Comcast? Was it more of a desperation thing this week where you sort of like saw the writing on the wall and had to sort of resort to desperate measures?
It definitely was. I mean, Sierra, Abby, and I knew we were on the bottom. And I mean, people weren't even talking to us. It was like, don't touch them. We were like the lepers of the merge tribe, you know. No one was allowed to be seen with us. And then, you know, I had someone openly gunning for me in a very personal manner. And it just, at that point, it was time to defend myself, knowing you're going out and knowing it's going to be in a potentially epic, you know, horrible fashion. You've got to do something.
You said that there was somebody who was openly gunning for you. Was that Savage or that was Tasha?
That would be Tasha.
Okay.
Obviously.
Well, let's talk about that relationship, because it seemed to me again that early on in the game, it seemed like everything was good. Was it just that both of you were sort of afraid to make waves, or was there some healing that had gone on in the early part of the game?
Yeah. We had had a big discussion on the first or second night on Bayon, where we sat up at the campfire almost all night talking about Kageon and mending our fence. Just like I had a similar discussion with Spencer when I finally ended up with him. I knew Tasha didn't like me. I knew she would eventually probably turn on me. I just underestimated the power of her hate, you know, and the fact that someone would virtually throw away their game just to exact revenge. It's like a Disney movie.
Did you feel like that there was a realistic chance going into that tribal council that this plan was going to work to potentially get Spencer to vote out Tasha?
No, I mean, he didn't have the numbers. We needed Wentworth and Spencer on board. Mm-hmm. And Spencer, you know, Joe was key in that because he was working Spencer and Wentworth. And it really was more of Joe deciding he was going to go with the Alpha Alliance. And once Joe said, I'm going to go there, and Joe came up to me and said, it's you tonight. He's like, I'm sorry. And I was like, well, you're going to be sorry. But, you know, he made that decision. Spencer followed Joe. Wentworth followed Joe. And that just left us hanging. But if Spencer and Wentworth had done it, we would have had five, gotten Tasha out. But that wouldn't have gotten them anywhere. They would have come back to camp and still been in the minority.
Were you annoyed with Joe? Because it seemed like from all these secret scenes that they put out there that I watched, it seemed like you and Joe had a really good thing going where you had like the Mama Cass Alliance where you talked about him and you guys had the thing going on at Takeo. And I really did think that he was going to be more loyal to what you guys set up at New Takeo. Were you annoyed with him that he so quickly went back to Bayon?
Yeah, I think Joe is a frustrating person to work with because he was really enjoying being the middleman that day and kind of being the key. And, you know, people get a little power hungry. We know I've done it. Other people have. I think Joe got carried away with that. And, mm-hmm. and you know, obviously he's going to go with people who aren't known for flipping on people and causing problems. So it was frustrating to work with him. I love Joe. He's a great guy. He's a sweetheart. He's a gentleman. But yeah, as a Survivor player, it was a little frustrating.
What about Spencer? Because you really stuck your neck out last week to keep him safe in the game. And while he did not take any pleasure, it did not seem like, in voting you out, he didn't ultimately stick with the numbers of your group. Were you annoyed with Spencer after you tried to save him?
No, I mean, when I saved Spencer, it was for my game, too. You know, to me, this was a new game, and we had clean slates, and everything was going to happen that, you know, that needed to happen. So Spencer was key to that episode, and had we not merged early, probably Spencer and I would have built on that relationship, and it would have been great, you know, to run the game with Spencer. But he had to go with numbers, you know. He wasn't ready to execute that plan. And he wasn't confident enough to say, let's get out Tasha and then I'll pull Joe back in and we'll run this.
Was there any talk with Spencer in terms of like another target that he might be more comfortable in voting out? Because it did seem like him and Tasha, you know, had always stayed friends from after Kageon. Was there maybe a chance if you would have said, okay, well, let's go after Savage, that he might have gone for that?
Well, I actually tried to get Fish to go after Savage. You know, I was really scrambling there. We had a couple hours before Tribal. The writing was on the wall, so I was trying a lot of things. And by the time I talked to Spencer, people were mostly keeping Spencer away from me. And that was literally that moment where you're going to get your bags and get ready to go to Tribal, that I had a very brief time to talk to Spencer and say, let's do this. And by then it was just Tasha was the name that everyone had agreed to. Personally, I never wanted Tasha out. That's what's funny. I don't think Tasha has the social skills to win the game. I would have loved to go to the end with her because she alienates people with her bristly personality, you know, and the self-righteousness and stuff gets a little bit intense there about this point in the game. So I had no intention of targeting Tasha or anything. She's a great goat to take to the end, especially for me.
So who brought up Tasha?
Well, I said that in front of the, you know, in front of everyone at tribe at the, at camp.
Yeah.
And that's where that stemmed from. But yeah, I was like, I don't really want her out. I'd rather take Savage. I'd rather take Jeremy. I threw out Jeremy's name to people and said, he's, you know, the guy is running the show, you know, and people are following him. He's, and I said it this episode, they didn't show it, but I said, kudos to you. And he got really mad at me because I said it in front of everybody, but nobody was willing. Even Keith, at one point I talked to him about Jeremy and he's like, you're right. Mm-hmm. And then he spit, you know? So, yeah, it was frustrating.
Okay. I want to talk about you and Sierra a little bit, because I feel like that's such a interesting dynamic that the two of you became such tight allies. Why Sierra out of anybody? Because I feel like that you seem like you're two pretty different people.
Yeah, I mean, Sierra and I, in the beginning of the game, Sierra wasn't eating and she wasn't feeling well. And oddly enough, I kind of took on the mom role for mm-hmm. her. And I think that's her comfort zone playing Survivor with kind of a mom.
And then she could vote you out.
Yeah, exactly. So unnecessarily, she could write my name down without needing to. But she, you know, I think that's her comfort zone playing the game with kind of a mom friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the role I took on with her. And I genuinely really like Sierra. We had a great time. We spent the whole game together. She's mm-hmm. the only person I was with every episode there. And we're friends. I mean, I love the girl and I think she's trying to play. And I think it's frustrating when you have 13 people and 9 people just decide they're going to do something together. And when you're one of the three that's not in there, pretty frustrating.
Right. Now, did Sierra run this plan past you where she was going to go in front of everybody and say that Andrew was talking about voting out Jeremy and Joe?
No, that was totally out of the blue. And I mean, things were pretty frustrating around camp. There was, you know, Tasha was on a witch hunt with me and taking people aside and really building a case to get me out, which is hilarious because nobody was really going to take me to the end.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was kind of a wasted person to get out, in my opinion. But I think Sierra kind of jumped in because she was tired of hearing all the stuff all day that was being said around camp and was trying to divert. And by that point, we all knew. We knew it was, we'd been told it was one of the three of us, and then it evolved into being told that it was me. And that's just a horrible feeling to be on Survivor yeah. and have to sit there for hours while someone is, you know, berating you and you know you're going home. It's like, God, just freaking let's go to Tribal right now.
Right. I have a question that I'm really interested to know the answer. And maybe you know, maybe you don't. But when Tasha voted last night, she voted for you K-A-S, which is not how you spell your name. And it's unfathomable to me to think that Tasha would not know how to spell your name. Kimmy also voted the same way, K-A-S. Is there any significance to that for you? Even Keith spelled your name right.
Yeah, I think it either reflects the literacy level of Tasha or the childish behavior of Tasha. You know, she knows how to spell my name. We all voted in this thing. We all know how to spell each other's names. We saw each other trying to pander for months.
Yeah.
You know? Whatever.
I mean, okay. I just thought, you know, maybe this backstory.
Tasha, the sad thing is she calls herself Tasha Fierce, yet she's so cowardly because she's so, you know, anger is based in fear. And the fact that someone would stew for 2 years and then come in, get voted in by America, and then just decide, I'm going to go on this witch hunt for Cass and we're going to get her out and I'm going to win. Good on you. You know, I mean, now I'm the fucking queen of Ponderosa. You know? So, yeah, I don't know what she was thinking.
I don't know. You might be getting an angry phone call after this, Cass.
Tasha?
Yes.
She won't call me.
Okay. Cass, playing Survivor the second time, you went through, it seemed like at least a positive experience based on your Ponderosa videos. Would you be interested in Survivor a third time?
You know, Rob, I don't think I can ever win. I think you and I talked about this. Like, when you leave the game and have a really good season and then you come back, the odds are against you. And I personally feel like I've had two great seasons. I went out there and wreaked havoc for one, and then I kind of got a little redemption on the other. And I feel like this is a full circle for me. And I, interestingly enough, 3 years ago this week is when I applied for Survivor and got called back.
Mm-hmm.
It was like November 5th, you know, and I just feel like it's a complete circle. And you know, you're a parent now. It's harder to go away. And for what? To sit in a Southeast Asian bungalow and take a shower on a toilet? You know, like, you have to really examine your motives.
So, you know how I feel too, so I can't begrudge you anything.
I say never say never, but, you know, they asked me when I came out and I said no.
Okay.
So I got to stand by that. I don't want to be a career survivor.
All right. Well, one day I hope that we can sit down and really get into all this at much greater detail. But Cass, looking forward to seeing you in a couple of weeks at the finale, and hope you're doing great. Okay.
Yeah. And hey, if you need a recap next season, you know,
we do.
We can work that out.
We do. Okay. All right, Cass.
All right. Thanks, Rob.
Take care. Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, everybody, there you have it. Chaos Cass. No love lost between Cass and Tasha still after Survivor Cagayan. All right, let's switch gears a little bit and go ahead into the Wayback Machine and talk about what was going on this week in Survivor history with Jordan Kalish.
Hey, Rob, how's it going? I thought it was a DeLorean.
Yes. Whatever you want to do, whatever you want. You want a Wayback Machine? You want a DeLorean? We got
Hot Tub Time Machine.
Hot Tub Time Machine. Any of the above are cool with me. Jordan, how you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, very good. Very excited about this week in Survivor and this week in Survivor history.
Yes, both a great episode last night and a lot of really great merge episodes that we have on the docket for tonight.
Yes. Okay. So we're going to get into all that here with Jordan and talk about what was going on in the first week of November in Survivor history. But first, we want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. And those are our friends over at Stamps.com. Because when you mail your letters and packages with Stamps.com, things just got a lot easier because you can mail and ship anything, anywhere, just using your computer and printer. No more trips to the post office because that can really be chaos.
Yeah, you do not want that. You don't want Chaos Cash, Chaos Tasha, or Chaos Stamps.
Especially around this time of year, because with Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage right from your desk, and Stamps.com does all the work for you. They give you a digital scale, which you can balance stuff on in terms of your letters, just like Joe, and automatically calculates exact postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, and set up as easy too. In minutes, you'll be printing your own postage and you never have to go to the post office again. I've got my scale here. I use it all the time to send stuff out. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com. Use promo code RHAP with this special offer for a week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, which includes postage and the digital scale. So don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, you click on the microphone up there at the top of the page, type in RHAP at Stamps.com, and type in RHAP. All right, Jordan, what do you got this week?
We're going to go, you know what, we're going to do two Second Chances Rewind episodes, and these are two episodes that some of our Survivor Second Chances contestants were involved in. We're first going to go to the merge episode of Survivor Pearl Islands. This is November 6, 2003, and this is 12 years ago tomorrow. This was an interesting episode because it actually starts with the Outcast Tribal Council, where Lil and Burton are voted back into the game.
The good Tribal Council.
Very interesting Tribal Council, where you do want to see your name on. Christy Smith would have loved this Tribal Council.
She loves all of them.
Yeah. But anyway, Lil and Burton are voted back into the game. Andrew Savage, in the previous episode when we had the Outcast Challenge, voiced his displeasure with this twist. He didn't like the fact that Lil and potentially that wet noodle Ryan Shoulders could come back into the game. So Savage wasn't loving this already, but when he sees that it's Lil who comes back in and he realizes that it's now going to be the merge, he has to try to get Lil back on his side, despite the fact that he doesn't think she deserves to be there.
Well, why wouldn't I deserve to be there?
Well, it's just a twist in the game, Rob.
I don't know if this is canon or not, but I had always heard that Lil got voted back into the game because the other people from the pre-jury didn't want to go on vacation with her.
I've heard that too. I think I actually heard you say that on one of the podcasts for somehow Pearl Islands. Maybe it was the evolutionist strategy.
Probably. That might be an urban legend.
Well, why wouldn't you want to go on the trip with me? I'd be so much fun.
I don't know.
You told me you would tell me.
So yeah, I bet it would be fun to go on a trip with Bigelow.
Yeah, she's probably gone on a lot of the Boy Scout trips before, done a couple of Pinewood Derbies. But yeah, Lil is back into the game, and Savage desperately needs her on his side, so he'll have the numbers against the Drake tribe.
Yeah, so they've got Lil back in the fold, and everything's going to be fine for the Morgan tribe after this, right?
Well, not so much, Rob, because Lil is not happy with Andrew Savage. When she had gotten voted out of the game, Savage promised that he would tell her either way if she was going to be going or staying. He never got back to her. And the greatest thing about this is when Savage goes up to Lil and Lil says that she hasn't decided, he asks her if she'll let him know his decision before tribal. And Lil has one of my favorite quotes from Pearl Island. Remember when I asked if you'd let me know before and you didn't?
Yep.
So she doesn't let him know. And Savage is the one who ends up getting voted out. So he is doing a much, much better in this merge so far, because he is still in the game, and at least if he gets voted out, he'll be on the jury.
He made it. He made it. So some redemption for Andrew Savage of making it past this point in the game when Lil came back in Pearl Islands. Okay, so a happy story.
Why didn't I get on Second Chances? I wanted a third chance.
Yeah, technically, Lil, you did have two chances in Survivor Pearl Islands.
Well, it was only one season.
Don't do your Lil. All right. What's next, Jordan?
Okay, we're going to go to Survivor Samoa, and this is 6 years ago today, November 5th, 2009. This is the merge episode where Foa Foa and Galu become the Aiga tribe. And what tribe name do you like better? Do you like Aiga or do you like Orkun?
I don't like Aiga. Either one.
I think I like Aiga a little bit better, but Orkun's not really doing it for me.
Yeah. Is it pronounced Orkun or Orkin?
I don't know. They never actually said it on the show. Maybe you should ask Cass in the exit interview.
All right. We'll spend most of the time on that, I think. All right. So talk about Survivor Samoa when the Foa Foa and the Galu tribes came together.
Well, this tribe starts where Russell is really laying out the strategy in case of a merge. And this is, he's talking about Foa Foa unity. And he says that he's going to plant Russell seeds and have his Foa Foa.
Plant them everywhere.
He said he's going to have his Foa Foa people try to take each member aside individually. And the merge does come. And that's really what they do. You see Natalie's bonding with Dave Ball and Laura. You see Jason is bonding with Fincher. And Russell is going to everybody, showing them his idol and promising that he's going to give it to them at various points in the game.
Yeah. Look at this idol. It could be yours too if you work with me.
Yeah. And the reason that this is part of the Second Chances Rewind, Monica actually plays a big role in this. He gives Monica a final two deal, and he realizes that she's not really buying what he's selling. And once Laura wins immunity, he actually says that it's her that needs to get voted out in order to weaken Laura.
Yeah. Ciara's mom.
Yeah. She's not a girl. She's a mom.
Yeah. All right. Well, then a very exciting first episode after the merge, and an exciting post-merge there in Survivor Samoa.
Yeah. And Natalie White, really, when you look at her winning the game, I've always been someone who kind of wanted Russell to win. I don't use the bitter jury argument. Jurors can vote for whoever they want. But Natalie,
that's why
really
I
does.
Love Jordan Kalish.
Well, I don't know if Russell would like it so much that I said that. But Natalie does a really good job after Laura wins immunity, flipping things on Eric, who's really, really smug in this episode. He says that there's no chance that a Foa Foa is going to be able to bring a Galoo over, and they end up bringing everybody except for, in this episode, Shambo, who's the one who will work with Foa Foa later in the game. And I really love here that when Dave Ball says to Shambo that it's Eric, Shambo, who's lived with Eric for the previous 18 days, says, "Who's Eric?" And it's just like, "Our Eric."
It's a real Kathy Sleckman moment.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, nobody's saying who's Jordan Kalish these days, because he's killing it on This Week in Survivor History.
Exactly, Rob.
All right. Jordan, good stuff. Okay, buddy?
Yep. I will talk to you next week when we are a week into the merge.
All right. Have a good one, buddy. Take care.
Yep. You too.
All right, everybody. There you have it. Jordan Kalish back here for This Week in Survivor History. All right. I'm going to go start to gather myself to go and talk with Trish later on today. Can't wait for that. Of course, get your voicemails in. robs@website.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. So lots of good stuff coming up, and can't wait to get into it. Looking forward to hearing what you guys have to say on our comments on robasawebsite.com. And for any reason, if you're not yet subscribed to Rob as a Podcast, I don't know what you're waiting for. I mean, we're at the merge of freaking Survivor Second Chance. Go to robasawebsite.com/iTunes, or for the RSS feed, go to robasawebsite.com/RSS feed, and you can always get our Rob as a Podcast app. Go to robswebsite.com/app. Have a good one, everybody. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care. Bye.
Chaos Cast. Don't trust her. Chaos Cast. From the Crap for Brave Tribe. Chaos Cast. Don't trust her. Chaos Cast. Talking with the llamas.